This recording, Missouri 20, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Karma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinarian nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stress. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you'd only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Karma, Karma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Karma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Karma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much," but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. Well, I was born in Minnesota, in a town of Owatonna, that's just south of the Twin Cities. My dad worked for a publishing company, and he got transferred when I was real young, about 2 years old, to Hannibal, Missouri, which was Mark Twain's boyhood home. And it's a small town right along the Mississippi River. And I lived there until I was, about 14 or 15 years old. But it was the main place that I grew up at. And since then, we'd lived for just a short time in California, but then moved to Topeka, Kansas. And I've more or less lived in Kansas for the rest of my life. And now I live in Lawrence, Kansas. And I've always worked construction. Right now I'm a stonemason and a stone carver. When I was a kid, the Mississippi River was it's kind of a treacherous river, particularly on that stretch of it. I mean, it's real wide and the current's real strong. And but there was an area north of the little town of Hannibal that they called the Bay, and it really wasn't a bay of the river, I don't think. It was more oxbow lakes and backwater of the river. And there would be these big pools that would be, 5 or 6 acres of water, and then they'd be connected by canals. And because the water wasn't very deep and there was no current in there, our parents would allow us to go up there and fool around. And there was this friends of ours that my brother and I had some friends, and their dad had a construction company, and his construction shop was right near this bay. And so whenever we needed to build something, we'd go in there, and there'd be somebody that, could like do welding for us and stuff like that, get things built, and go-karts and stuff like that. But one of the things we built was this a raft to put on the bay, and we would have a paddle wheel on it, and the paddle wheel was run by pulleys on it. We'd have a lawnmower engine, and so we could putt around and go up and down the thing, you know, and go fishing, and mostly it was just to fool around and, you know, to go from here to there. That was about all we did, you know. It had a little house on it, and we'd climb up on top of the house and, you know, leap off into the water and all that sort of thing.